Happy Monday morning and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is a pleasure to be with you once again, wherever you are and wherever you are listening. Hope that you had a great weekend. It's been a few days since we've had Grizzlies basketball, but I imagine for the Grizzlies especially, it's been a nice probably sabbatical from playing, before they really get into a long stretch of just a lot of basketball to be played. But thankfully, that is going to be back on the docket this Wednesday, but a couple more days for the Grizzlies to rest up, a couple more days to get ready for, what's going to be a whirlwind of a second half to the season, and certainly there's going to be plenty to discuss. But for today's episode, we're going to focus on last night's All-Star game in the first segment, a really fun development over the weekend that we'll get into in the first segment. In the second segment, I'm going to talk about the award winners from the first half of the season for the Grizzlies. Who was the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year? We'll discuss all that. And then in a small series that we'll be doing in each episode this week, I'll look at the trade profile, the trade potential, the trade likelihood. What sense does it make for a few Grizzlies as we now are again, coming up on, being less than 3 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline? In general, I think the Grizzlies will be a bit quiet, but we will at least discuss why it could be sensible for a few of the Grizzlies players to be traded, if the right deal came along. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats SAC. You can find the show wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. We ask that you listen, review, subscribe, let us know how you feel about the show, and any type of content you want discussed, please reach out to us via the DMs on social media, via reviews. We'll be glad to discuss it. For those who may be new listening to the show, my name is Sean Coleman. I'm coming up on about 3 years of covering the Grizzlies myself, writing over at Grizzly Bear Blues as a blogger, and then also have been podcasting for the past 2 years. I'm coming up on about a year. I started last April, working with former co-host Mark King, and then from there taking over in August, and it's been an absolute thrill of a ride ever since. The reason I do this is that it combines many passions of mine: the Grizzlies, the NBA, talking about sports. It gives me the chance to interact on a regular basis with those who share the same passions as I do, which makes this so rewarding. Well, when it comes to a passion that many of us share, now that certainly is Mike Conley, who now of the Utah Jazz has had a great season, especially in helping lead the Jazz to the best record in the NBA. Well, over the weekend, there was a lot of speculation when it came to when the All-Star rosters were originally announced that Anthony Davis of the LA Lakers was going to miss due to injury. Well, when it was announced that, yes, he made the All-Star team, but he was going to miss, it came down to a few players, and Devin Booker rightfully was selected as the injury replacement. He certainly deserved to earn that spot with how well he has played this year. Well, it was also announced into the weekend that actually Devin Booker would be missing the All-Star game due to an injury of his own. Well, as soon as that was announced, it came out Friday night that Mike Conley had been named to the All-Star game. But the thing about it is that when that announcement was made, it was felt just as much in Memphis as it was in Utah. Now, don't get me wrong. Utah fans certainly deserve to celebrate Mike Conley. That goes without saying. But Grizzlies fans certainly should enjoy the ability to, celebrate it as well. Conley, obviously, here for nearly 12 years of his career, just an absolute, saint, for lack of a better word, a great representative for the Grizzlies, a great representative for the city of Memphis. He became one of our own, represented us so well. He embraced the city as much as the city embraced him, and so he became a beloved franchise icon for the Grizzlies here in Memphis. But unfortunately, despite some really good seasons, especially the 2016-2017 season, Conley just could never get over the hump. He never could find the opportunity to make an All-Star team, though he came really close on several occasions. The last time that he really had an opportunity was the 2018-2019 season, where he got off to a really good start, but unfortunately the Grizzlies just kind of fell off. But of course, he got traded to the Jazz after last year having a bit of a rough start into getting integrated into the Jazz system. He, the Jazz, Donovan Mitchell, and others have just taken off. And so Conley being in the All-Star game really made it more interesting for several Grizzlies players. And so there was a reason to watch, especially when it came to the three-point contest. And Conley absolutely shined in the three-point contest. Of course, unfortunately, there was this other representative by the name of Steph Curry, who basically is the best. He's other otherworldly when it comes to his shooting. He's the best shooter in the history of the NBA. And so when Steph Curry made that final three last night, my heart sank a little bit. I was really wanting Conley to be able to take home that hardware, but unfortunately Steph Curry decided he wanted to take over and beat Conley by 1 point in the three-point contest. But overall, just seeing Conley introduced before the All-Star game, seeing Conley introduced before the three-point shot contest, it was amazing to see, and it was a well-earned distinction for Mike Conley. But in my opinion, that's where the highlights of All-Star Weekend ended. And the reason why that is, there never should have been a game in the first place. Like, even if it was great to see Conley on the screen in that atmosphere, getting that type of distinction, getting the honor that he has so long deserved. But to be honest with you, it would have felt the same had it just been announced. And I still think, as I mentioned on a few occasions, that this All-Star game should have been one that just should have been announced. There never should have been an event. There never should have been a game. Obviously, the situation now with the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons potentially on the shelf for a few games before the All-Star break, that is a significant turn of events and a significantly negative turn of events. Hopefully, nothing else comes from this, but the All-Star game should never have happened. The product that was on the court was absolutely embarrassing at times, especially to start out the game, and that's nothing against the players. They just didn't want to be there. They really had no choice but to be there because the league wanted to do all that it could to create revenue, and yes, Adam Silver said that he respected the decision or the opinions of the players, but the players have made it known. Several of them had. They had no desire to be there. Certainly, they felt they were honored. They did not want to downplay the honor of being selected as All-Stars, but none of them wanted to be there as far as playing the game goes, or very few of them at least, and it showed. The game was an absolute travesty at times, though it went to really good causes when it came to the HBCUs. That was a shiny moment of the All-Star Weekend. That was a great cause that certainly brought a lot of highlights and a lot of spotlight on great sources of education, across the U.S. That part of All-Star Weekend was lovely. It was a great call there to support those institutions. However, just the All-Star game itself, though, it was just a travesty. It really was at times with the way that the players played and overall with just the effort that was there. It should have never happened in this pandemic, and especially with the fact now that two integral parts to one of the better teams in the NBA, they may be unable to play, and so the 76ers, for the second time this year, may have to go through a bout of being without their best players. That could come back and result in them having a lower seed than they should have in the Eastern Conference playoffs. That's something that should have been completely avoided. But I'll get off my soapbox. Overall, it was still an All-Star game. It was still awesome to see several of these talents play. For instance, for the first time, LeBron James and Steph Curry played on the same team. It's always awesome to see this magnitude of talent all together in one place. But overall, I do think that the product itself was a bit of a disappointment. The NBA should have never let it happen, and that should have been the case. But at the end of the day, it did happen. At the end of the day, it was wonderful to see Mike Conley, put on a show in the three-point contest, be able to play in the All-Star game, and overall, it was awesome to see this magnitude of players. Thankfully, we are past this. It's over, and we can get on to the second half of the season. But before we talk fully about the second half, I do think it's fair to certainly honor a few of the players' performances for the Grizzlies from the first half. Coming up, I'm going to discuss some first-half awards for the Grizzlies and hopefully some sustainable performances that will last till the second half of the season. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Head to BuiltBar.com and put in the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. Well, last night, part of your fun was perhaps putting a little bit of money on wagers when it came to, the three-point contest, the slam dunk contest, who would score the most points, or whatever it may be. It certainly is fun to be a sports fan. And though football is now in our rearview mirror, we've got the second half of the NBA season, the NHL season is full swing, college basketball is about to really pick up with some exciting games this weekend, UFC baseball on the horizon. There are still plenty of sports to enjoy. And if part of your fandom is putting a little money on the table, betting, wagering, whatever it may be, if you'd like to profit off your knowledge, I've got the one place that has you covered, and that's BetOnline. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or your mobile or use your mobile device to sign up today and use the promo code LOCKEDON and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's using the promo code LOCKEDON and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit BetOnline today and again use the promo code LOCKEDON. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, Selection Sunday is a week away, and there will be a number of ACC teams left out of the tournament. What went wrong in the ACC this season? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with Locked On Today. The great Peter Bukowski has all the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Every year, the NBA has its usual awards that it hands out. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to look at some awards winners for the Grizzlies in the first half of the season based on the Grizzlies roster. Now, there may be a bit of overlap. I'm going to go over some general awards, probably five or six. But it's really fun to kind of see the different roles that players have played and also the importance that they have had to the Grizzlies' success with several of the Grizzlies' best talents being out for extended periods of time. So let's jump right into it. So I think the team MVP from the first half of the season is Kyle Anderson on both ends of the court. We already knew coming into the season how good of a defender Kyle could be, how good of a facilitator, but he has really stepped up other parts of his game that we needed for him to step up in for him to be able to contribute, but also to keep us competitive. A few things such as that are scoring, which he's up at career high rates. Obviously, his shooting has taken a significant step forward, but his rebounding as well. However, the big reason why I feel he's the team MVP, it's because Kyle, on different nights, has featured different parts of his game. If the shot was not there, he would facilitate and rebound. If the scoring was there, he would take on a role and use his decision-making to be able to effectively keep the Grizzlies competitive, as well as the fact that his defense has been there for most of the season. There was a patch of time in February where I just think Kyle got kind of tired. You know, he's been taking on a big offensive load, and that's the other big thing, is that his usage rate is up. There's a lot more plays in which Kyle Anderson is relied upon to create opportunities or to finish more than we had anticipated he would need to this year. But for me, the first half MVP, especially with his two-way ability and how he has stepped up his direct source of scoring and facilitating, is Kyle Anderson. The offensive player of the year is Ja Morant, obviously, coming off a month in which he was one of only four players to have 17 or more points, 7.5 or more assists, while also averaging less than 3 turnovers per game. He absolutely is the reason why this Grizzlies offense is at least league average to a slightly above average when he's on the court. And he's also the best player that the Grizzlies have when it comes to their offense. When he is scoring and facilitating this Grizzlies team, I'm not going to say they can play with anybody, but they play at their best, especially on offense. And so the offensive player of the year is Ja Morant. Defensive player of the year, I'm going to go DeAnthony Melton. And I know that DeAnthony Melton has certainly improved his offensive game and that others overall have played more defensive minutes, but I'm going to go with DeAnthony Melton because I feel that when he is on the court, this Grizzlies team is at their best across the board when it comes to defense. It's not only being able to stop the opposition that they're playing, but it's also the ability to create turnovers, to rebound, to get out on the fast break. Their ability not only to effectively stop opposition or to at least limit the opposition in the half court, while also turning off defense into offense due to Melton's ability to create turnovers, I feel that it's at its best. And though Melton has not been as available as others have this year, I do feel that when he has been on the court, that's when this Grizzlies defense has been able to make its biggest difference. And so my defensive player of the year so far for the Grizzlies is certainly DeAnthony Melton. The most improved player, Kyle Anderson, once again. His overall improvement when it comes to his shooting, his scoring, and his rebounding have really been a needed difference for this Grizzlies team. And though he already was able to do those things, the fact that he's been able to do it consistently, night in and night out, and in different times of the game when it was needed, it really has shown through. So my most improved player when it comes to the Grizzlies is certainly Kyle Anderson. The sixth man, I'm going to go with Desmond Bane. And the reason why I'm going to go with Desmond Bane is because he certainly has influenced this Grizzlies team when it comes to its ability to shoot. He's the best shooter on the team. It has shown through. He has shown some versatility and been able to start, but the majority of his games have been off the bench, and it really has added needed depth to the Grizzlies shooting approach. Again, they're not anywhere near one of the best point shooting teams in the league. However, they certainly are much more consistent when it comes to their shooting, or at least a bigger threat per game, with the emergence of Desmond Bane, as well as him supporting others such as Grayson Allen, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, their shots that have certainly improved as well, Melton's as well. But Bane overall stands out as being the most consistent shooter from beyond the arc, and it really has allowed for the Grizzlies to utilize him in different roles. It has allowed for him to be able to hit down needed shots to, you know, keep the Grizzlies either in games or keep leads or whatever it may be. So Desmond Bane, in my opinion, really has not only emerged as the sixth man of the year, but also as the rookie of the year for the Grizzlies. That's no slight to Xavier Tillman. It's just that Bane really has stepped into a needed role for the Grizzlies team, and I think more than anybody expected, has delivered on a consistent basis for the Grizzlies. And of course, the comeback player of the year for Memphis is obviously, in my opinion, Justice Winslow. I get that he's only played in six games so far this season, but just the story that he has as far as how long he's been out and how quickly he's, you know, how he was able to come back, how quickly he connected with this team while he was out, but also, in my opinion, one of the big reasons why he's the comeback player of the year, you already can clearly see the impact that he is making on the court for the Grizzlies on both ends. Now, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up, you know, this level of impact on a consistent basis, but like Melton, in my opinion, you can clearly see that this Grizzlies team is on a different level, especially defensively, when Justice Winslow is on the court, and there's plenty of reason as to why the Grizzlies had held him in such high regard, even through his injury. So those are my awards for the Grizzlies so far this season. Those could be subject to change as we go along, especially with Jaren Jackson Jr. coming, you know, hopefully coming back within the next, you know, few days, hopefully. That is one big thing to remember, is that Jaren Jackson Jr. certainly could be back soon, but I do think that those are the awards winners so far for this Grizzlies team. But I will tell you this, I also think that some discussions that need to be had in the near future is what moves could the Grizzlies potentially make at the trade deadline, and I might have a surprise in store for you as to who I feel could be the most sensible player for the Grizzlies to discuss in trades. Coming up, I'm going to start a series this week in which we look at several players on the Grizzlies team who may be logical to trade at this year's trade deadline, and that starts with one of their most critical components to their success this season for the Grizzlies in the first half of the season. For close to a year, I've been talking with you, especially in 2020 and now into 2021, about the great product that is Built Bar. We've been telling you about it for a while now. Well, now we're excited to announce that there's a great campaign going on for March Madness in the month of March, and that is Built Bar Madness. That's correct. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing taste protein bar that everyone can enjoy. It's a great start to your day, whether you want to have it in the morning for breakfast or in the afternoon as a snack. Well, now we're looking to see what you think. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-flavor, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. But the great thing is that there's so many tastes to choose from. We're trying to get your opinion on what taste is the best. Now's the time to find out what Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchups are as follows: Apple Almond Crisp versus Churro Puff, or Peanut Butter Brownie versus Raspberry. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can actually vote. Apple Almond Crisp and Churro Puff are matching up, and the winner will go on to face Cookies and Cream, while Peanut Butter Brownie and Raspberry, those two will match up, and the winner of that will go on to face Coconut Almond. Some really exciting flavors that you can go to BuiltBar.com right now and vote on. And while you're at BuiltBar.com, remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will be the best tasting protein bar in time. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And so in the first segment, we talked about the All-Star Game. It was great to see Mike Conley in place, but however, the overall product of the All-Star Game probably, you know, it was definitely a bit lacking this year, and it has been over the past few years. It's just a product in and of itself that's hard to make what it once was, but at the end of the day, it did occur. It was awesome to see that magnitude of talent in place, though I still think that they could have just announced the winners of the All-Star selections and been just fine. In the second segment, I handed out some awards awards for the first half of the season. Well, now I'm going to go in the third segment of each show this week. I'm going to talk about a current Grizzlies player that I do feel certainly could make sense for the Grizzlies to look to trade. Now, I don't think that the Grizzlies will make a big move, and I also certainly understand the Grizzlies wanting to keep everything in place, especially for the players that they do have under contract beyond this year, to see how everybody gels together, especially with such another big piece that's yet to play in Jaren Jackson Jr. However, I do think that with how the roster has developed, how players have developed, and with how we've seen some of these different combinations of players play together, there are some veterans on this team who could make sense to trade. And it may surprise you with the first player that I have in store, but I mentioned him on Twitter, and I think it's Kyle Anderson. Now, again, I don't see Kyle Anderson being traded at this year's trade deadline. It makes just as much sense, if not maybe even more, because he'll be an expiring contract next year, for Kyle Anderson to be traded in the offseason. But one of the big reasons why I think that Kyle Anderson makes the most sense to trade is because of the fact that his value has not been as high as it has been now previously. Reason why is because with his added shot, with his offensive development, he now is truly a two-way player. It used to be that he was kind of like Tony Allen. He didn't have the same defensive impact of Tony Allen, but you know that he added value on defense, but in today's NBA, it was hard to see where he made, you know, a lot of consistent value on offense. Well, now he does with his facilitating, his underrated ability to finish in the lane, and his ability to shoot. He is a two-way wing now. Not one of the better ones in the league, and probably not a significant two-way starting wing or big, but he is someone that offers a lot of versatility both on offense and defense, and especially off the bench, I feel, for a contender. So the first big reason why I think Kyle Anderson makes sense to potentially trade is obviously because of how his value has risen in terms of what he could offer a contender with the type of player that he is. The second reason why is because I really do think that he is the type of player that's in demand when it comes to the market for contenders right now. Wing defenders are huge right now when it comes to contenders. One of the reasons why is because one of the reasons why the Grizzlies have been successful against other teams' best perimeter stars this season. The Grizzlies have the ability to throw different types of wing defenders, different lengths, different levels of defenders at these perimeter scores, and it makes a difference. Well, for a contender, that is something that Kyle Anderson can certainly offer, and I think that it's certainly worth them, you know, looking into acquiring. Because for the third reason that I think Kyle Anderson should be traded, it's the simple fact that his contract keeps him as a value. Yes, he may be more valuable in the offseason as an expiring contract, but just think about this. Instead of waiting till the offseason, a team waiting till the offseason to get Kyle Anderson, what if you have a 2 to 3 year window left and you really think that you have a chance this year and into next year? Why not go after Kyle Anderson for 2 playoff opportunities instead of just 1? And again, with his versatility and intelligence, he's the type of guy that can still add value in high leverage in postseason situations. So I do think also his contract, which is, I believe, 2 years, and I think that he has at the rate of about $8.5 million left this year and then $9.5 million next season, a very, very manageable contract. And for teams that are kind of cash strapped right now due to the cap, he's not someone that's going to sit here and absolutely, you know, make you have to move out of a lot of money to acquire. He can offer a lot of benefit on a very, very manageable contract. But one of the biggest reasons why I think he makes sense for the Grizzlies is because of where his value fits on this team. The Grizzlies are really establishing that they have plenty of depth at the four position. Kyle Anderson plays his best at the four. You know, Brandon Clark plays very effectively at the four. Obviously, Jaren is going to be the starter at the four, but Justice Winslow plays at the four. Tillman can play at the four. The Grizzlies have a lot of players, and especially when it comes to the different types of versatile lineups that Taylor Jenkins likes to put on the court, the Grizzlies have a lot of depth at the four. They don't have a ton of significant depth at the three. Kyle Anderson plays better at the four than he does the three. While Dylan Brooks does play decent at the three, they do need a bit of an upgrade there. So I think that that's something they can look for. Now, I'm not saying Kyle Anderson's going to be traded to get you a significant upgrade at the small forward position, nor do I think the Grizzlies need to make that type of move right now. But when you look at this Grizzlies roster and you look and you see how many of their players, younger players, including Justice, Xavier Tillman, Brandon Clark, all that different stuff, all those players, number one, those were players brought in by this regime, whereas Kyle Anderson is a product of the old regime. But number two, several of those younger players who are either probably more highly thought of as being a part of the future core or are controlled for longer, those players played their best at the four. So at some point, you've got the odd man out. And if the Grizzlies right now, though, they're trying to make the playoffs, they're trying to be competitive, if they're really still focused on the future, I think it makes sense to, of those players that play their best at the four, take the player that is the oldest, take the player whose contract has the shortest time between now and then when it's going to expire, take the player who also has seen his value rise the most, but still has the majority of his value in the present. That is the type of player that really stands out as being a piece that you move to a contender. And so I do think it makes sense for the Grizzlies to really take Kyle Anderson's value, the improvement in his stock, match it up with the need for wing defenders for contenders on the market right now, with the fact that he has a controllable contract beyond this year, but one that is still manageable, and use that to go get an asset for the Grizzlies that's going to be controllable when they are closer to contention. Now, again, I give this about a 15 to 20% chance of actually happening, but I do think that there are several legitimate reasons as to why trading Kyle Anderson makes some sense. Not only from the Grizzlies' perspective of his value being at an all-time high and of what he could return in terms of the future, but also from the perspective of others, to where Kyle Anderson is the type of guy that could really fit the need for multiple contenders. And while I would not, if I was the Grizzlies, I would not be shopping Kyle Anderson, I would at least be listening to see if a worthwhile offer came my way. Can't thank you enough for joining us on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. We'll be right back tomorrow to discuss another trade candidate that we think could be out there, as well as many other things looking forward to the second half of the season. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Can't thank you enough for listening. Hope you have a great Monday, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.